Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there and welcome back to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on the 23rd of January. It is 8:30 at night as we record, and we are back to discuss the latest goings on around Celtic Park. We've obviously got that Scottish Cup victory at the weekend against Bucky to discuss, and we'll have a look at how we feel the transfer window's going and have a wee look towards this Saturday's game at home to Ross County. So delighted to say that I'm joined by Tony and Danny the night. But we'll just cut through what's been happening. I know it's been a few weeks since we've been on. Tony, I'll come to you first. As I say, not much happening on the transfer front. We've been sort of talking about it in the group chat. I'm sure we'll come on yet, but we'll focus on positive at hand. We won the game 5-0 against Bucky on Sunday. It was pretty much what everybody expected. Maybe no the Hollywood scoreline that maybe some wanted, but good to see Celtic back in action and 5-0 win with five different scorers.
It was the end of the game we expected, Celtic to have all of the ball, and credit to Bucky, so I thought they had a bit of a go, and they defended quite resolutely at times, so it was good to get back. I was over for the game, despite the mad weather, and luckily no flights postponed or anything like that, so it was a good run out for the players, happy quite a few of them get the goals. Bernardo's goal was really good. He's definitely come on to a game, I think we'll be looking to sign him permanently. Maybe that'll be our big signing in January. Palmer with another good goal. I'll try to think. Kyogo scored a good goal as well. And Vata managed to get a goal. He's become a kind of a major subject for discussion. He's got to stay, he's got to go. I think the boy's obviously okay, but he's not really a priority focus. I think we should very quickly make a decision either way on whether he's going to be a part of the club or no, and then get on with it. I feel as though that's the only rumour you really see is he's in contract talks or Italy are interested. So hopefully we get that resolved as soon as possible. Can I remember the fifth goal scorer?
Well done, Thiago home.
Yes, I was actually scored the second goal, I think. So I'm happy for all the guys. I always thought the Bucky Thistle game was a good chance to bed in new signings, get confidence up, get a good few goals. But we've only signed one player and he wasn't available, which was quite disappointing. But I guess he can hopefully he'll be in the squad for the Ross County game. But January, I think if anybody listens to our December podcast when things were going tits up, we say as much as January would be really important. We thought it would be a struggle. We thought the excuses of January being a hard window would come out. I put out a tweet the day and I get hit with all the kind of usual stuff about January being a hard window. I think it's been pretty brutal so far. I mean, I think the fact that we beat them and then went 8 clear, even though by the time we next play, they might have it down to 2. Hopefully they don't, but we'll soon see. I think everybody's, there is, I've said it before, there's definitely, people don't want to call out the board, they don't want to give the Huns anything until actually it's all, but let's just pretend everything's rosy, don't let the Huns think anything's bad, they might latch on to, that's definitely a part of people's mentality, they want to just always think everything's rosy, and I guess I get it, but it's definitely no. I mean, see in October when we were legit, like 8 points clear, they had no games in hand. So about January, we could start getting these players in to kick on in the Europe, the Champions League. Then it was, oh, we'll get these players in to get the title over the line. And now people are going, oh, well, Hitachi and fucking Nevada have come back. And when CCB comes back, these guys have been here for years. They're no new signings. Rodgers had said he wanted four in before we sold Starfelt, Jota and Moy retired. Since then, you can see Palmer's been good. His statistics have been really good, and I like him. I think he's a decent player. Bernardo started coming on to a game, and I think maybe Naroki's could be a player for us. But Yang's no look great. The guy Kwon we've put in loan, he never played a competitive minute for us. Lagerbielka, apparently we weren't ready. Even for guys like Forrest and Mikey Johnson getting loads of minutes, so... I don't really understand what Celtic's strategy is when it comes to transfers. They talk about trimming the squad was the thing that Rodgers was saying. The only person we've got rid of is fucking Adeguchi. I thought he'd left us a year ago. So obviously Adam Montgomery we've recalled and put him to loan. And then people are saying, oh, what are English clubs doing? And I'm like, I don't really give a fuck what English clubs are doing. We should be able to get the players we need out and loan at very least and get them playing and hopefully get them in. I like when we send players to other SPFL clubs. I think that's a good tactic. They can't play against us and they might do your turn against them if they play against them and they might come back better, a bit like Ryan Christie and Christopher Eyre have done in the past. But and then people say, the window's no shut. But surely you want the signing in right away. Let's say, for example, before the window ends, we sign Miowski. If we went to Aberdeen with the right amount on the first day of the transfer window, we could get Miowski. So for me, it would make me think, what is he's waiting on? And then it'll all be about trying to save money. But that's what annoys me in terms of you have your AGM, you're bragging about your financial power and how well you've done, and everybody's getting increases in their wages or whatever. And I'm thinking, well, why not go back and give the fans something? The fans are desperate for quality to be added. The manager's desperate for it. The squad needs it. We need a left back. We need a keeper. We need a striker. What happens if Kyogo gets injured? Well, Ozawi, who plays up front? Mikey Johnson. I mean, that's not really acceptable for a title race. It's just this madness. And I don't know how so many fans just accept that all these windows are difficult and the league's shy. Sometimes it feels as if we should just gear up. Who wants to come to Scotland? Well, go and offer them fucking thousands of pounds a week. Offer them the Champions League, chance to win trophies, play in front of 60-odd thousand. There's loads of people that want to come to Scotland playing under somebody I think still a very good manager. So, no, it's been piss poor, I think. It's been very predictable. I think now Stephen McGowan's come out and says that clubs are looking at Abada. I think this has been on the cards for a while, and if he wants to leave, I would let him leave, but I don't see any point in loaning him. If a club wants him and they offer the right money, then sell him. That would suit me, but then that means all you've really done is sell Abada and sign Kun. So you could see the January window, we might actually end up downgrading the quality of the squad, which just sounds fair. I said that to anybody after Hearts beat us 2-0, he would have put the windies in, so... It's just this kind of typical Celtic. Spoke to death about people at the club shouldn't be there. Peter Lawwell shouldn't be there. His son's employed. And then Michael Nicholson, don't really know what he does. You don't really hear from these people anyway. I think somebody said today it'd be nice to have an interview with Mark Lawwell and say, what was your recruitment team been doing for the last 6 months? And then I think somebody says it'd be a fucking short interview. So how we don't have these things already in place when we've known for 6 months, possibly longer, the positions that need improved, I just don't know. I don't know how people get away with it. I think it's gross negligence. People are probably tired of us talking about it, tired listening to it. I'm tired saying the same things. But it wouldn't be surprised me if Rangers go and lose to Hibs and Mora and we manage to get out of the line in the league, maybe win the Scottish Cup, get to Europe next year, get absolutely smashed again, and then just do the same thing over and over. So look, I hope they drop points and I hope we kick on and win the league. But I just feel we need to be better in Europe.
Aye, I've heard quite a bit there, but it's like you say. First of all, in the Bucky game, I thought we were as it looked like it would be on the tin. It was pretty straightforward. There wasn't really any worry or upset. It was good to see Celtic back. Obviously, we hadn't played any sort of break friendlies, so it was good to see Celtic back in action. As I said, start, good to see five different scorers as well, and a couple of youngsters like Rocco Vata and Daniel Kelly getting some minutes as well. And as much as some journalists seem to think we don't play any, the academy boys, you're there too, plus you guys like Welsh and Ralston on as well, and Mikey Johnson, of course, who... So I think we ended with five academy players playing, so that was good to see as well. I think I'm not going to cover too much on that, but on the sort of transfer side, I'm just completely scunnered with it. But I was quite a few days into the transfer window being open, and that's bad enough, but it's not even the fact that it's been open for 23 days. We've knew about these problems for 3-4 months now. Like, I think very quickly it became evident that every signing, apart from, as you say, Lewis Palmer and latterly Bernardo, like, was really made an impact on the first 11, and the manager's been out calling for quality, the captain was out calling for quality, and you know what, you're right, like a few months ago we were pretty clear, we no games in hand for anybody, and that was a good position to be in, but we threw it away. A lot of that's down to the quality of the squad and players just not standing up, and you're right, they shouldn't be getting away with, when Vickers is back, when Hatate's back, when Maeda's back, when Abada, like, these are the new signings, these are part of the squad already, and the squad is weaker than it was under Ange. I think that's pretty indisputable at this point, and if they win their games in hand, then as you say, you're only 2 points ahead, and that only takes one slip up for you to lose the momentum and forget your Champions League if that happens and they somehow go on and win the league. And it's because right now, like as I say, I think we're clearly weaker than we were last season, and if in this January transfer window we don't come out of it stronger, we're at very best standing still. And you can only stand still for so long before people will start passing you. And there's a real possibility that that will happen, because while we're not spending money, other teams will. And we've seen enough times this season, like obviously home draws to people at St Johnston, Motherwell, defeats to Kilmarnock, draw at Hibs, defeat to Hearts at home. Like, it's very possible that we'll drop a real... like decent number of points in the second half of the season as well if a squad isn't improved. And you're right about guys like Miofsky. Like, if we were to sign a Miofsky or a Shankland or whoever, like, these should have been done in the first few days of the January transfer window. Either window might have opened on the first, but these deals could have been getting done behind the scenes. And you know what, if it cost another 1 or 2 million, then so be it. Like, but if you look at like the sort of media reports and that, and I know they're not the be all and end all, but there's been more talk about guys like O'Reilly and Carter Vickers and Abada being linked with moves away than there is for Celtic being realistically linked with players. Like, I think the one on Sunday that I just found hilarious was we get linked to Owen Beck, who I know that rumour had been going out for a few weeks, and then I think one of the journalists on Twitter says Celtic are looking to make this a permanent deal, and then I think it was 5 hours later he played for Liverpool, which meant that he can't play for Celtic this season, even if we did sign him, because he'd kind of play for more than two clubs. And I think that sort of puts us where, like, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a bit of truth in that and we just aren't doing our deals diligently enough and quickly enough. And you're right, like, you shouldn't worry about what's happening with teams in England, like Everton and whoever. Like, these financial fair play rules, like, they are, you've got to be making significant losses over a like sustained period of time before you get hit with these. And Celtic are nowhere near that. We're posting profit after profit. We're releasing 4 kits a season. We're releasing 50 different Adidas bits of training kit and stuff like that. They're melting the support for whatever they can, like in terms of season ticket increases. They're hosting a player of the year at Hydro. Like, Celtic the Musical, as you spoke about, they're milking the support dry, and this money needs reinvested, because, as I mentioned, like, it's not just the league that you're putting in danger, but it is that Champions League money next year, because like, although we'd have qualifiers, you know, Celtic's form, even under Rodgers in Champions League qualifiers, wasn't great, and so that could have a massive impact. And for years, like, that mob across the city, like, it's been one cup in a while, or the one league title in 12 years, or whatever. Like, it's there's only so often that you're going to give them the opportunity to get on a level grounding with us before, if they do win an all-league, or they qualify for the Champions League and we don't, where you're in danger of them passing you for a sustained period of time. And I think you called it right, Tony. I think it's just gross negligence at this point. I think that the recruitment team and, in general, the board need look at, like, I think you're right about the Derby win maybe clouding some people's judgment, and some people are happy just to be back on, have the title back and our advantage, and that's fine. Like, it's not a supporter's job to be out there identifying targets and telling people what to do. Some people, they just want to go and watch Celtic, but the board are taking them for granted. And like you've seen it at Hearts game, the reaction and the board chants that were directed towards the main stand. But it's something really needs done. And even at this stage, I'm heading into the last week of the transfer window with no much hope that we're going to come out of it stronger. And personally, I think there's every chance that we will come out of it probably a bit weaker in terms of, as you mentioned, if Abada was to go and the only signing we'd made was Kuhn, who, like, the only bit we got to see him on Sunday was getting paraded at half time. But I don't know, it's just, it's a worrying time, and I think that we're in real danger of putting ourselves in a title race, and we're already in a title race, of course, but I think we seem to be the ones that are creating it and not doing very much to distance ourselves from the team in second place at the moment. But Danny, what's your thoughts on the weekend and the transfer window? I know me and Tony have ranted about that.
He's fair went on about it, but a lot of it, well, it all made sense to me. Sunday was, Celtic were on a hiding, they're not on Sunday, they either won 5, 6, 7, 8, nothing, or, you know, even worse, you know, that's kind of par for the course, or they get beaten, it's, you know, you're talking about it for the next turn of year. So they got through, 5-0, they think they'd have won the net 8 times, maybe 9, couple of offsides, but they played well. It was good to get Celtic back. It was, they must have had about 90% of the ball. And it was quite frustrating earlier on. Obviously, we had a lot of money talking, but I just thought the way that they couldn't seem to cope with that high line was kind of amateurish, because all it would take was like somebody hanging back with pace. But they eventually got a grip through it and got a couple of goals. But aye, it was kind of what you expected. It was good to see people like Rokova and the boy Kelly getting on and as well. And but the, like what you have said about the transfer window has been spot on. It's been really disappointing, and it's, you know, really underwhelming. Just, you know, again, when we played Hearts, I know you have spoken about it as well, but Rodgers got asked after that game if he was surprised at how bad his team was, and he said no, because he's seen it coming for a while, and the squad's not good enough, they need quality. And yet, here we are scrambling about, or are we scrambling, are they standing pat? Is this their plan? Whatever happens, and, you know, don't get me wrong, we've had an unprecedented string of success in the last, you know, what, 7, 8 years since Rodgers came in first time. But it's been done in spite of a flawed transfer strategy. Especially the last, Postecoglou's 2 years seemed like a total anomaly, where it looked like we had an idea of what we were up to. It's just, I don't know why, they seem to wait for the worst to happen before they even act. It's like, the inaction so far, I mean, I think Kuhn will be a good player, he looks like he's got something about him. This Statos, the geeks were fairly happy with the signing, which kind of bodes well. He look, you know, he looks pretty confident. He looks like he's got something about him. But if you're selling Abada, or even, I mean, loaning Abada is probably the worst thing that they'll do. I mean, that's just fucking ridiculous. That's just all. Like, why loan him? I don't know if he's going to come back in six months and think, well, get an odd go. Things have changed. So just sell him. If he wants to leave, get him out the door. We could still fetch about 10 million for him, because he's done it in a few big games and he showed up well for us in 2.5 years. But if he wants to go, just punt him. But if that's, like, if we end up with a net of losing the Abada but gaining Kuhn, it's just not good enough. And you're leaving it to chance. Now, I remember when we beat them at the end of December and then we went to St Mirren and won, and we were talking about if we could win the 4 games after Hearts. If they think that's got them out of jail and that the rest of the season they'll be playing sailing, then they're in for a shock, because this Celtic team has shown, if nothing else this season, it's fucking completely inconsistent. And they've won 4 games in a row for the first time all season. You know, it's more likely that they'll drop points in the next 3 games than it is for us to go 7, 8, 9 games win and run. Now, having said that, traditionally Rodgers' teams have actually performed really well after Christmas, and they seem like after January they seem to kind of knuckle down and just go on with it, and they put a winning run together, which was badly needed at this point in time, but they're just not giving them the tools. I mean, we're screaming out for a left back to challenge Taylor. Well, we replaced Taylor, but if you look at Taylor's best spell as a Celtic player, it was after they spent $3.5 million or whatever it was on Burnaby. Taylor started that season on fire, was a totally genuine player of the year candidate, and had a really good season. He's seen half Burnaby, and now he's, I mean, don't get me wrong, he came onto a game the last two games before the winter break, but it's obvious that he seen a threat in Burnaby and decided to do something about it. So why do they not just bring in another? They need challenged, they need replaced, but it's just, it's like, we've been screaming out for it. Goalkeepers, I think Joe Hart's had a good season. I'm kind of in the minority. I don't really see an issue with Joe Hart. He made a great save on Sunday, but it's obvious that he's obviously not going to be there next season, so it'd be good to get a plan in place. Now, we did this a couple of years ago. We ended up with fucking Barkas for a season. We knew the keeper was going. I mean, it was Foster, and we let Craig Gordon go, which was a mistake, my opinion. And then we signed Barkas, who left his horns in Greece. And just, well, staring down the barrel of another episode of that. Now, I would, like, if goalkeeper's not a priority for me in this window, I would have liked a winger. We've got one, but if we're going to get rid of a badder, then we still need another one. We definitely need a striker. We should not have just two centre forwards at the club at any point in time. That's just ludicrous. And the way that, I don't think there's a youth, like in the B team, I don't think there's a centre forward. All the players seem to be wingers that can cut inside and have a shot. Like, I know Vata ended the game up front the other day, but he's a winger. And to know of an out and out striker in the B team, that's quite concerning. You know, there's no even one coming through. To have two out and out strikers at the club isn't good enough. And considering one, you know, both of them could have been away. I mean, what would we have done if Kyogo was away? Like, what's the plan in place? There's no forward thinking. Did they not think in August, by the way, we might want to sign a striker because there's a potential that the only two that we've got are going to be away? So if we were to win the league this season, which I think we will, obviously we'll get Scottish Cup to play for as well, then it will be done in spite of what is a very flawed transfer system, which does need wrapped up and starting again. And, you know, my thoughts on the board are that they've probably taken the club as far as they can. They've done a great job over the years, you know, keeping us, obviously, you know, they've raised that 70 million that's in the bank. You know, they've done well to get that far, but we need people that know what they're doing with that 70 million, and people, instead of people that are scared to spend it. And I just don't think we'll progress as a club until we get a new board in. Now, I'm kind of fairly set on that. And I mean, I don't know, I don't think it's a sales for change movement or anything like that. I don't think we're in any drastic danger of going bust or anything like that, but we're in drastic danger of being left behind because the world of football is moving on very quickly. And we seem to have a board that A, don't plan ahead, and B, when it does come time to actually act, they get nervous with the trigger. So I think going forward the next 5 years, I'd like to see Celtic under new ownership, whoever that may be. But I mean, it's just, we're doing all this because Scotland's a fairly substandard footballing country. We are one of the big two, and you know, we keep getting away with it, but we've got this unprecedented success despite what's going on. That's why I don't get fans of other teams are like, oh, but you've won this, you've won that. But we're seeing it every, you know, I mean, we all seen the iceberg a couple of years ago. Everybody's seen it, and they walk straight into it, and it looks, feels like very similar to that. Although hopefully Rodgers will get a tune out of what is there. But even if they were to sign four or five players in the next week, you know, the way Celtic bed in players, you're talking March before you see them, and then, you know, who knows what situation will be in then. So it's just really bad. They had 3 weeks off, good and signed three or four players that can bed in with the squad, they can get to know the squad. You've got a home tie against a Highland League team for them to come out and get a run out in. You know, And another missed opportunity. The boy couldn't say the half time that he wanted to go in the park in the second half, so he was obviously fit to play. I don't know what the decision not to play him was all about. Something about the dentist, but he was at a game, he was ready to play. And it just, I don't know. But I'm scunnered with it, Dan, and it will no improve in the next week. So, but you keep, you know what it's like. It's that dead transfer deadline stuff. You just, you hang about, refreshing Twitter, watching Sky Sports News to see if it no harm. You know, they tell you they're going to Scotland and you watch the adverts and they come back and then they tell you fucking Hibs have signed somebody and you do it every time. And I don't know why we're all no switched on here. We should be, but it's pretty grim this January and just hope it something will happen, but probably won't. We'll probably lose 3 or 4 players before the same one.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't think you're wrong. I think especially the January transfer window, its deadline days have generally been pretty poor over the years. I'm trying to think back. I know you've had your odd exception. We've had Robbie Keane announced late in January and guys like Armstrong and Mackay Stephen caused a bit of good feeling about the club as well, but generally, like these transfer windows, especially January, are just really poor from us. And I think it's going to be a lack of preparation. And just on something you mentioned there, he says about the club possibly being in the wrong hands. And I think you're right. Yeah, like from a business point of view, they probably do look like they've done a fantastic job. But on the part they are holding us back, and I agree with you. I think for Celtic to progress, there's serious change needed. And that probably does sort of come together in a sort of change of ownership and change of direction. That's why when they ask us anything and on questions we've had on here, that's why some of us have said, oh, we'd welcome like a Saudi group or a Red Bull or City group or whoever. Like, there's something that there's a structure and direction and looking to progress. But I think the people at the top of your club seem happy to be in the Champions League once in a while and get some adulation about the atmosphere, and that'll do them. And as long as we finish 2 points ahead of Rangers, that'll be fine, because we'll get them Champions League the next season. And like you say, the way that they're steering is, it you could say it's sort of heading towards a disaster. But in my opinion, it hit a disaster when we failed to win 10 in a row. That season was a complete disaster. No, just no getting 10 in a row, the complete state of the club at that point and where it went. It was a disaster. It was like the Titanic hitting the iceberg. Everything was going down and nothing should have survived, but somehow an Ange Postecoglou-sized sort of life jacket got thrown to them and picked us out of the water for 2 seasons, and everything seemed great again. And I say that many times on here, people can listen back. I say Ange was just sort of running the club for the first year and a half, 2 years, like the full 2 years he was here. Like, he was a human shield for the board after the absolute shit show that they had directed us towards. Like, he was the one that came in and steadied everything and got a good feeling about the club. And then when he went, Rodgers came in. I think we are pretty unanimous on here that we all like Rodgers. A lot of support don't, but it's not as rosy, and it's as if Ange is away and now we seem in danger again. It's as if, well, I mentioned the Titanic, but it's as if Ange is away who saved us from that disaster, and now we've just took the wheel again and it looks like we're heading straight for another iceberg. And it's not as severe as it was in that COVID season, of course, but if you lose a league, it's a complete shambles this season, and it would feel of our own doing more than anything. But Danny, what's your realistic expectations? What do you think that will happen? We've mentioned it, as I say, there's been links with Riley, Carter Vickers and Abada. I think if one of them was to go in the next week, it would probably be Abada. I think, I don't know about you, but even from the sort of standpoint of the Abada, I'll know get into it fully on here because there's a lot of speculation regarding it. But for me, it was pretty apparent that there was a heavy chance that Abada would leave this transfer window, just given sort of things that have happened and various sort of media reports that had come out. But even for me, if you were to lose a player like Abada who had contributed what he had in the last 2.5 years, it would be that in itself would be complete unprofessionalism as well, to lose him that late. He's another one that should have been away pretty early if that was going to happen, rather than leave it this late and lose somebody. And like you say, we've not seen Etna Kun. Like, it's hard to say if he's going to be an sort of adequate replacement for somebody like Abada, but what's your expectations going in there next week? I know we've been speaking about how disappointed we've been so far. Do you expect any incomings? I personally don't think there will be any. I think you'll probably have Brendan Rodgers coming out saying he's happy with the squad he's got till the summer, and like I say, it will be the cliches, like difficult transfer window and the team that won the treble, etc., like that they'll be strong enough in the second half of the season. What do you think?
I don't think they'll sign anybody, but then I expect them to sign at least two. I don't think they can afford not. And I don't know whether it's just wishful thinking. Personally, I'm not expecting anything, but the more we were talking there, I'm starting to think to myself, well, they can't really afford not to sign anybody. I mean, it's not as if, you know, the fans were pretty vocal against Hearts. You know, we all heard it. The fans made their point very clear. Right, we won 4 games, we steadied the shit a wee bit, but it's very, as I said there, the team's been inconsistent all season, so to not back them up with quality just is very, very risky, and I don't think they can afford to do it. So, but even at that, you're either signing a player that you've scouted, but you don't think he's not your number one target. Fuck knows who their number one target is, but you know, you could maybe sign a player. You take a Lagerbielke. I know that was kind of Starfelt's agent, that was the story about that, but people were saying it was Starfelt's agent that set that up to replace Starfelt. But they obviously didn't fancy Lagerbielke as much as they fancied other players and knew they weren't rid of him. So the chances are you're signing another player like that who you're like, right, well, we've scouted him, I think he's decent, but we'd be taking a chance on him rather than signing somebody that we actually do rate properly. So that's a risk. And then, or it will be loans for the Premier League, and they've, Jota was a good loan signing. Bernardo looks like he's got to be a good loan signing. Carter Vickers was a good loan signing, but the ones that we usually sign have been, you know, your John Joe Kennys and that have been Nat Phillips. That they're staring down the barrel. I mean, we're the exact same situation we were in August, where you're staring down the barrel of like an emergency loan for England. And it's really no good enough when, A, you've had the experience of what's happened this season, and you know going in what you need. You know, when it's not the summer, where the new manager comes in, he eyes up the whole squad. And there's going to be a few legacy issues, like, you know, players that Ange's okayed to sign or okayed on scouting that you sign, and that, you know, it's very clear that Rodgers probably didn't have much of a hand in any of the summer signings. So we've not really signed a Rodgers type player yet either. And to answer your question, I don't think they can afford not to do it, but I'm not exactly holding out hope for them to sign anybody. And even the ones that they sign, I don't think it will be the number one targets unless they just decide to spend mad amounts of money, but I think I don't see that happening.
I'm with you. I think it is a dangerous game to be playing in terms of no signing anybody, but as I said, I personally don't think we will sign anybody. I think wouldn't be surprised if a few go out. I think probably the main one for me probably will be Abada. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes. And then I think it will just be a few of the sort of players that aren't anywhere near it that might get loaned out, but even then that's just a temporary fix because they're going to come back in the summer when you kind of get anybody to buy them on the contracts that Celtic have given them. But yeah, that's an off topic for another day. But
Darren,
I'm sorry, you go down it. Yeah.
If O'Reilly or Carter Vickers go, I mean, you're talking about a fucking, that's a season ender. Do you know what I mean? They must be kept at all costs. Abada looks like he's forced his way out, so whatever. But you're talking, as you said earlier, there's more talk about players, like good players leaving us, than it is us getting rid of Deadwood and stuff like that. So, but saying that, it's not as if you keep day two and then be like, oh, look, we've kept day two, that's a success. But they cannot leave under any circumstances, or you might just see more scenes like the Hearts game.
I think you're right, especially about the two. I think Nicholls, I know, has missed a lot of the season through injury, but he's by far and away our number one defender, and it should be sort of one that you're looking to keep for the next season or two, at least, or at the very, very least until the summer. And O'Reilly, like, after that St Mirren game, it was his 100th appearance for Celtic, and he says that he hoped there'd be many, many more. So if he was to go, then I think you'd have to look at it as the board's been the ones that sort of instigated the move rather than him knocking down the door, looking to go. But, so aye, they too can he go, and I think it would cause chaos if any of them went. I don't think they will. I think that would just be completely mental if that was to happen. But Tony, as this will probably come out on Wednesday, so it'll be exactly a week until the transfer window does close. What's your sort of thoughts? How's the squad going to look at, in terms of incomings and outgoings this time next week?
I totally agree with you, Sam. If we sell Matt O'Reilly or Carter Vickers before the end of this window, then I don't know where I'll look, to be honest. But surely not, because, you know, clubs just can't entice good players to leave in January. It's a very difficult window, so that shouldn't be possible. What do you think we'll look at next week? Well, who still needs to? I think Abado goes, I think the clubs that want him will have the loan to buy option, because it's kind of, they don't know that if he wants to leave the clubs, I think the club's hands will be a bit tied with that, and they might need to do it. It's what we do to clubs all the time. They kind of try before you buy, so I think that'll happen. So you'd like to see the likes of Kobayashi, Mikey Johnson, Burnaby, but I guess you can't really get rid of Burnaby because we don't have a replacement left back. So I think the squad will look quite similar to how it looks now. I don't expect us to get another three in, and I don't expect many to go out on loan. I think it might look exactly as it is now. Hopefully I'm wrong, but we've really been linked to anybody. We were linked to Owen Beck for, I think, 45 minutes before Jurgen Klopp played him, and that kind of brought an end to it. So I don't know where the fuck that came from. No, I've got no faith in them at all. I hope I'm wrong, and hopefully we bring in a striker that can do his job, and hopefully we get a left back and a goalkeeper. But I think I'm in cuckoo land, to be honest. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think we'll sell any big players, apart from, I think, Abad will leave on loan. Hopefully we can make it permanent, and that just kind of ends us. You don't want to become a kind of ongoing saga where every tweets about he's wearing a black armband and he's not clapping the fans. I can't really be arsed with that. If the guy wants to go, let him go. He's been a good player for us, but as you say, I'm not going to get into the political aspect of it. It's not for a stupid podcast to start debating Palestine and Israel. So hopefully that gets done quickly. But I wonder what the manager's thinking. He can't be happy. I know he's too busy fucking winding up the Huns with his speeches, which I thought was very, very funny. The kind of penalty offside thing. I thought that was quite iconic. But look, Ross County next, as I say, but then we'll know how much of a title race we're in. I think the worst thing that could be happening for us to strengthen is if Rangers don't point in the next two games, but it would obviously be a massive benefit for the title race. If they win their next two games, maybe our board will get a bit frightened that the big Champions League jackpot might not actually go to us. So do you want a prediction after me for the game?
I go for it while you're there.
I'll go for a kind of routine 3-0 win. I think we've hit a bit of form. I think we are a bit better after the four games. I just hope this is us really going to kick on now. So 3-0 Celtic, I'll go for Kyogo Double and Matt Riley.
I would take that. And Danny, I'll come on to you. As Tony said, Ross County, the visitors to Celtic Park on Saturday, they're in pretty much free fall since they appointed Derek Adams. He had his infamous speech where he says that League Two in England was 100 times better quality than the Cinch Premiership, and ever since then I don't think he's won a game. He obviously got hammered in the cup at home to Partick Thistle at the weekend. Are you expecting Celtic to dish it out to them on Saturday?
Aye, Thistle went there, won 3-0, and apparently they were on the bridle for most of the game and they were going away the whole game. So there's absolutely, I mean, I don't know why I'm saying it, because fucking St Johnstone were the worst team in the country and they came to Celtic Park and got a draw, and then Motherwell were the worst team in form, came to Park and got a draw. So we need to take care of Ross County, but they've not played well for months. They're a club in disarray. We should be getting out and hammering them. We should be starting early, starting fast. We've had the game at Sunday, so it's not as if anybody's called. Hopefully see Coon for the start. And I kind of agree with Tony. We're playing better. We've turned the week on a wee bit, but I've seen too many stupid draws this season or defeats and poor performances. So hopefully Saturday's no one of them. Tony's right. We'll see what kind of title challenge we're in. You know, there could be a chance to extend our lead even further. But I do think we'll win routinely at the weekend, and I'll go for 4-0. And I think Kuhn will score twice on his debut.
I would take that as well. And I think Tony says to us off air that the fact that Rangers have got they play twice before we play because they're playing Wednesday night and then Saturday lunchtime. So there's every chance that, as Danny said, we might have a chance to extend our lead. But also at the same point, we might go into that game only 2 points ahead. So it's a vital game. And look, we've played pretty well on Sunday. I know caliber of opposition wasn't much, but at the same time, we created a lot. We also had 4 goals or whatever it was disallowed. So we're clearly breaking down packed defences, and that's what's going to have to happen on Saturday again. And Danny's given me a bit of the fear, in fact, that he's right about St Johnstone being the worst team in the league when they came to us and got a draw, and then Motherwell similarly. But it's one that I think it will be a pretty routine three for Celtic, and I think it'll be a pretty similar lineup. Maybe Kuhn will come in for a bad. I don't know if there'll be any sort of movement on that transfer front before then. But if not, I wouldn't be surprised if the only change was Cal McGregor coming back into the team. I know Rodgers says he was rested for Sunday, so as much as he got his goal on Sunday, I wouldn't be surprised if Odin Thiago Holm was the player that dropped to the bench and Cal McGregor came back in. And but years have went 3-0 and 4-0, so I'll go for 5-0. I just think that will be too strong, and as I say, Ross County are pretty much in this area at the moment, and Celtic should be able to capitalise on that. While the recruitment team are busy working hard on the transfer signings that we'll be having to discuss on next week's episode. Let us know what you think. Just search for us wherever you follow us on social media. Just search for Full Times That Podcast. Get your predictions in. If anybody gets it spot on, we'll give you a wee shout out next week. But we will be back next week. We'll discuss that Ross County game, and we'll also look at the latest transfer incomings and outgoings as we fast approach the transfer deadline on Wednesday. But if you've made it this far, thanks very much for taking the time to listen. We do appreciate it. Let us know what you've thought, and we'll be back to you next week. Hail, hail.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.